This is Toby Sumter with your CrossPolitik Daily News Brief for Tuesday, February 18th, 2020. Things are beginning to heat up in the PCA. That's the Presbyterian Church in America, the largest conservative Presbyterian denomination in the states. The 48th General Assembly will meet June 16th through the 19th, 2020 in Birmingham, Alabama, and consider business from the nearly 2,000 congregations, around 90 presbyteries, comprising of some nearly 400,000 members. Presbyteries may send overtures to the General Assembly, which are official requests for action. Three of the 10 overtures currently listed for consideration by the Assembly this summer are related to the recent revoice controversy in the PCA. Longtime listeners of CrossPolitik will remember one of the most popular interviews we've conducted with Greg Johnson, the pastor of Memorial Presbyterian Church, a PCA church in St. Louis, Missouri, back in July 2018, just days before the very first Revoice Conference. The first Revoice Conference was hosted by Memorial Presbyterian Church in St. Louis, and Pastor Greg Johnson was heavily involved. I have a link in the notes to that interview if you missed it. Revoice was a conference organized by individuals from several different denominations, but with this uniting goal, quote, to support and encourage gay, lesbian, bisexual, and other same-sex attracted Christians, as well as those who love them, so that all in the church might be empowered to live in gospel unity while observing the historic Christian doctrine of marriage and sexuality. This is a slightly updated and changed mission statement from its original form. The original mission statement included a plus sign and reference to sexual minorities, but apparently Revoice has closed its cold heart to other sexual perversions. Following that original conference, Missouri Presbytery of the PCA investigated Greg Johnson in 2019, did not find him or his session of elders guilty of any gross theological error. Added to this, Greg Johnson came out as a non-practicing homosexual in Christianity Today in May 2019, and then reiterated that same homosexual identity on the floor of the 2019 General Assembly of the PCA, arguing against the Assembly's adoption of the Nashville Statement, which says in Article 7, quote, we deny that adopting a homosexual or transgender self-conception is consistent with God's holy purposes in creation and redemption, unquote. The founder of Revoice, Nate Collins, has said that Revoice was inspired in part by the Nashville Statement. The Nashville Statement was affirmed by the 2019 PCA General Assembly by a vote of 803-541. While that was a substantial affirmation of biblical sexuality, it was also a substantial vote against it. With Missouri Presbytery exonerating Greg Johnson and the elders of Memorial Presbyterian, it should come as little surprise that two presbyteries have sent overtures to the General Assembly for 2020 for the Standing Judicial Commission to assume original jurisdiction of the matter of Greg Johnson and his elders with regard to theological error and their involvement in the 2018 Revoice Conference. Another overture for this year's General Assembly is from Low Country Presbytery, requesting the General Assembly to amend the Book of Church Order to include a new clause specifically stating that, quote, men who self-identify as gay Christian, same-sex attracted Christian, and or homosexual Christian shall be deemed unfit for ordination in the Presbyterian Church in America. It's a shame that such a thing need be stated explicitly, but given the lay of the land inside the PCA and our current cultural cesspool, this is absolutely necessary. Many have claimed that the PCA is not nearly as compromised as some think, and if that's the case, this overture should pass the General Assembly like a LeBron James slam dunk. But if this barely passes or is outright rejected, I would call for hospice. The PCA is dead. All teaching elders are welcome to attend and vote at General Assembly, and every congregation is entitled to send two ruling elders for the first 350 members and one additional ruling elder for every additional 500 members. Frequently, faithful churches are busy doing good work at home and do not have the time or resources to be very concerned with denominational politics. they rightly value the shepherding work right in front of them. But sometimes you really do need to make the sacrifices necessary to guard the broader flock of God. I think it would be wonderful if thousands of faithful elders showed up in Nashville this June and put the kibosh on this sexual silliness. I highly suspect that the social justice hooks are also deep in the PCA, and a heavy dose of gospel common sense might disrupt a whole bunch of shenanigans. And speaking of shenanigans, Jared Longshore and Tom Askell at Founders Ministries have been busy asking reasonable questions and throwing the SBC into a general panic. The plan was for the elites of the Southern Baptist Convention to slowly bring the largest evangelical denomination into the 21st century with soothing tones and warmed over bromides. But then, as often happens in these revolutionary moments, someone actually reads the fine print. And usually the fine print is not really all that fine, but it still takes reading. And when Tom Askell read the now infamous Resolution 9, affirming critical theory as a useful analytical tool last year, something went off, and he led an attempt to defeat the resolution last year in Birmingham, Alabama, at the Southern Baptist Convention. That Resolution 9 passed, and the documentary By What Standard chronicles that story, which can be watched for free at founders.org. And if things are heating up in the PCA, it seems things are already simmering, maybe boiling, in the SBC. Not satisfied with the philosophical hash of Resolution 9, the high priests of the Southern Baptist Convention have recently announced the speaking lineup for the 2020 Pastors Conference, which meets just prior to the annual convention this year in Orlando, June 9th and 10th. This is the annual meeting for the nation's largest evangelical denomination, comprised of some 47,000 congregations, nearly 15 million members. Of course, some folks are calling the founders guys troublemakers, but Ahab called Elijah a troubler of Israel, and Herod thought the same of John the Baptist, and Paul was accused in Thessalonica of turning the whole world upside down, and I'm pretty sure the same thing happened to the boy who asked why the emperor was so naked. Tom Askell merely asks why a woman who is a teaching pastor is being headlined at this year's SBC Pastors Conference, a pastor's conference, a conference for pastors who are men, because Paul and the Bible say that men are to be pastors, and they have a woman who thinks she's a pastor coming to headline. Okay, anyways, the Baptist Faith and Message says, quote, while both men and women are gifted for service in the church, the office of pastor is limited to men as qualified by Scripture. While the SBC is clear that each church is not bound by its resolutions or by the Baptist Faith and Message, it certainly seems strange to give a platform to a woman who is openly flaunting the stated conviction of the SBC. But there's more. Askell also asks why SBC pastor David Hughes, pastor of Church by the Glades, is being promoted. He also has been invited to speak at the SBC Pastors Conference. Why has he been invited given his proclivity to use sexual themes and innuendo in his sermons and evangelism? Some examples that Pastor Askell raises would include a gospel tract entitled Victorious Secret, with large bedroom naughty eyes across the cover, as well as a sermon series entitled The World's Largest Strip Club and The Bible's Game of Thrones. Apparently, there's another SBC pastor who will be speaking at the pastor's conference who has a woman pastor at his church, and one of the folks in the lineup features dancing stormtroopers during his worship service from time to time. Again, every church that is deemed in cooperation with the SBC is entitled to send two messengers to the convention every year, and up to a maximum of 12 messengers based on giving to the convention. And like the PCA situation, I think it would be great for a bunch of good old boy Baptists to show up at the convention this year in their Levi's and cowboy hats and their BS detectors turned on high. And the thing not to miss about this news for today is that as the church goes, so goes the world. The world is generally a lot better at logic than Christians. Christians have the distinct disadvantage of still caring about what people think. And so Christians can throw off the fear of God, but are still trapped by the fear of man. And so this is why they can go on for decades, still sort of, you know, going around in the trappings of religion and not really giving a damn. Non-Christians know that if there is no God, then it doesn't matter what you do, who you sleep with, how you party, or how you do your business, or what you do in your politics. So the world is chugging along at 80 miles an hour, probably 100 miles an hour, stealing, killing, and destroying, because about 60 or 80 years ago, the church, by and large, announced that the Bible isn't really God's word, you can do with it whatever you will, and even if it is, God is just a senile old grandfather who will forgive you no matter what. So this is why church fights over sexuality and morality and what the Bible says are actually public politics. Jesus said, we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. As it stands, we are a smoldering candle that isn't giving off much light at all. And that means that all the darkness in the White House and in the Supreme Court and in the Congress and in your state capitol building is due to the darkness of the church. They are dark because we are in the dark. We aren't even sure if pastors can identify themselves as sodomites or not. Right. And that's why Pinko Pete Buttigieg is actually showing up in the polls. This is Toby Sumter with Cross Politic News. You can find this show and all the others on the Fight Laugh Feast Network at crosspolitic.com or on our brand new app, which you can download at your favorite app store. Just search Fight Laugh Feast. Support Rowdy Christian Media and join our club at fightlaughfeast.com and get access to master classes on parenting, Christian business principles, God and government, and backstage interviews with people like Vodi Bakum and Douglas Wilson and James White and Tom Askell and Jared Longshore and David French and many more. We also hope to meet you at our first annual Fight Laugh Feast conference in Nashville, Tennessee, October 1st through the 3rd this fall. Go to fightlaughfeast.com to sign up now, and actually, registration is open. Hope to see you there. Have a great day.